Do we ever doubt that God is our Savior? No. Do we ever doubt that he's a powerful God who loves us and has given us gracious promises in Christ? No. But might we at times be tempted to doubt the power of his word, the gospel, to accomplish great things? The gospel has power. All by itself, it will grow, and it will produce fruit. And don't get me wrong, all those other things, the music, the message, the manners, the methods, those are not bad in and of themselves. But they can become a side distraction where we lose our confidence in the Word of God.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with Rock Solid Hope in Rim Country. June 17th, 2018. This message is based on Mark 4, verses 26 to 34.
You catch what we read earlier in the book of Jonah? The incredible thing that happened in the book of Jonah? And no, I'm not talking about that miraculous fish that the Lord sent to rescue Jonah. Something far more miraculous happens in the book of Jonah, doesn't it? Jonah actually got to go to the Ninevites. Jonah proclaimed the word of God to the Ninevites. And the most miraculous thing is the city repented. The people from the greatest to the least responded. Jonah proclaimed the word, and the word produced amazing results. But that's Jonah. What about you and me? Do we have the same effect as we go about proclaiming God's word and seeing wonderful, amazing results? Well, this morning, Jesus reminds us as he teaches us in two different parables, we have something powerful as we carry the word of God, and we are to be confident in that word. Spread the gospel seed, and it will grow. The picture he gives, the picture of the gospel being like a seed, is something that you do see quite often in Scripture. In fact, we read just a little bit earlier in Mark how he depicts the spread of God's kingdom as a man going about throwing seed and scattering seed. And if you recall, he depicts several different results of that sowing. The seed that's sown, he says it's sown and snatched by the birds and trampled. Those, he explains, are the devil comes along and someone hears the gospel and tramples over them or takes away the seed, the message. So nothing happens. And then he also talks about the one that does spring up and the seed that is excited. It's a Christian that knows they have Christ and they're excited about it, but when the sun comes, that seed is withered and dries with no root. You've probably seen that. The believer that has no deep grounding in Scripture fails when trials and hard times come and their faith falls flat. And then finally, he also depicts that seed which is choked by the weeds. You probably have witnessed that too. The believer that because of the pressures of this life, because of persecution or worries of this world, it's choked. And so they're not producing any fruit, but their faith is strangled. Those are some of the bad results that can happen when the gospel is being spread. The seemingly non-responsive results. Jesus and his disciples too were familiar with this, weren't they? As Jesus went about sowing the gospel seed, preaching the gospel and the good news of the kingdom, he didn't always see good results, did he? As Jesus fed the 5,000, it wasn't too long after that it said, many of his disciples deserted him. They chewed on the gospel message and said, this is a hard teaching, and rejected him. And of course, the religious rulers, the Pharisees, the chief priests, outright vehemently went against Jesus and his preaching. And Jesus' own 12, his handpicked disciples, one of them, apparently we see is a lost cause. That's why Jesus had to tell his disciples, when you go and you spread that gospel seed, be ready to shake the dust off your feet to those towns and those people that will reject you. Now, when we go about carrying our work of spreading the gospel, we can maybe find this same result and discouragement, right? After all, you and I, maybe we're not sent directly by Jesus to those towns to sow a seed, but we are involved with gospel ministry. Just by your gathering here, you're spreading and supporting the message that we proclaim as a witness to others. When you support our church's mission offerings, we spread the gospel here and around the world. By your prayers, you support the spread of the seed. And even when you just mention to somebody, yeah, Jesus, he's my hope. And you take that conversation about sickness or death and you turn it on its head and point to Christ, you too are sowing the gospel seed. It can even be as simple as, hey, my church has a great message. It's about Jesus. Why don't you come hear it? What happens sometimes? And it sometimes feel like maybe there's not enough power there to make a difference. Or like something's not going to really happen. Why bother? Maybe sometimes because of all the discouragements that people face when they're sowing the seed, maybe we're tempted at times to think that we need to fix it, to maybe be that business person or that auto mechanic that's just going to do that little tweaking turn that will make the gospel really work, right? The temptation can come that maybe if we just get the right method or the right messenger, then the gospel will really, then it will produce fruit, then we'll see numbers. If we get the right music, then people will really come to faith. And we see what we're doing. We're taking that gospel and we're saying there's something more is necessary. Or maybe there's someone that just because we don't like their mannerisms and they're a Christian pastor or teacher, we say, if we can just fix them, maybe rid ourselves of them, then we'll produce fruit. Or maybe if we make a nice place for the teens to hang out, then the teens will come and hang out with us. The temptation and the trap is to think that if we do the right thing, then the seed will do the right thing, and then we'll have a harvest. Where's the focus going? When the focus is on our efforts, our methods, our mannerisms, so the point becomes that the gospel isn't powerful enough in this circumstance. Or maybe the church isn't filled with pride. Maybe the other trap comes. When you see the gospel seed is not bearing fruit, you might say, no, it's not so much pride. We recognize the gospel, but maybe it's despair. We might be tempted to think that, well, the youth in our town just really aren't interested in hearing the gospel. Or our congregation, it's an older church, it's a dying church, some will begin to think, and we're not really going to be accomplishing that much. And despair sinks in. And those ministers who sow the word and those who work with them in the gospel begin to sink into despair and think, like Elijah who crawled into a cave, I'm the only one left, why bother? No one's going to care or listen. As if they don't hold something incredibly powerful with the gospel. See, whether we fall into either one of these temptations or traps, to think that in human pride that it's on us and our methods to make something happen, or whether it's on blaming somebody else or blaming ourselves or despairing and blaming God, the gospel seed is what Jesus points us to focus on. You ever plant a seed in the ground? Ever watch it grow? To me, it's always amazing. I've grown a number of different things, and I often put it in the dirt thinking, well, let's see if anything comes of this. Jesus says that's what it is of the gospel. The kingdom of God, he said, is like this. It's a seed. You put it in the ground, and day or night, whether the person that planted it does anything, whether they sleep or eat or work, the seed grows. And the Greek word here is the word that we have for automatically. Of its own power, the gospel seed grows and creates life. Despite all the things that one might try to add, or despite the despairs that it won't produce fruit, the gospel has power. All by itself, it will grow, and it will produce fruit. The word of God has the power to create faith. And don't get me wrong, all those other things, the music, the message, the manners, the methods, those are not bad in and of themselves, but they can become a side distraction where we lose our confidence in the Word of God. How easy it is for us to slip into pride, right? Picture the man that he wants to go on a date with somebody. So So he reasons he'll just find the latest fad of clothing and make sure he's wearing that for his dates, even though he doesn't normally wear it. And then, oh, there's that commercial that promises if you wear this deodorant, the woman will like you. So he puts that on, and then he makes sure that he rents the greatest sports car so he can impress the girl that he's taking on a date, and he starts imitating all of his favorite movie actors that seem to have their way. And do you think he'll have a lot of dates? He might. But do you think he'll have a healthy, lasting relationship? Compare it with the other man who presents simply himself in truth and is genuinely who he is and who he has to offer. Will he have a lot of dates? He might. But which one will have a healthy and real and lasting relationship built off of truth? Which one is built off of gimmicks and will be short-lived and shallow? So it is with the church. If our reliance is on gimmicks or on outward things, we're missing what we really have and hold. Or picture maybe another thing. A man who's presented with a car. It's a sport car, and it's the most powerful, quickest, expensive sports car. And he's told, this is yours for free. But instead of hopping in and using it, he says, no, I don't think that one's the best. Missing speed stripes. I don't like sport cars without speed stripes. Can't possibly be any good. Put some speed stripes on it, might be good. Obviously, it sounds ridiculous. So it is with the church. If we think that putting speed stripes on an old rusty car will fix it, or that a perfectly good car without speed stripes is not valuable, we're missing the point. The car is powerful. It will get the job done. It's the best in the world. The gospel is powerful. It will produce fruit. It will grow all of its own, regardless of whether it has a speed stripe or not. So what does this mean for us? We can have confidence in the working of our God. Not only that the church will grow as we share the gospel, the kingdom of God will grow, but it will grow in an amazing way. Jesus gives another parable. He says, the kingdom of God, it's like a mustard seed. It starts very small, seemingly insignificant, and something that doesn't look very powerful. But when planted, it grows, and it becomes the largest. So it is with God's church. When Jesus walked this earth, he did not seem all that impressive. When his disciples spread the gospel seed, they were called uneducated men. And when the crowd gathered, that 120 on Pentecost, they didn't have any power of their own. But the kingdom of God grew as the good news of Jesus was spread. Do we ever doubt that God is our Savior? No. Do we ever doubt that he's a powerful God who loves us and has given us gracious promises in Christ? No. But might we at times be tempted to doubt the power of his word, the gospel, to accomplish great things? God's word has accomplished great things. By the power of the gospel, that message spread by the disciples went throughout the world, and you see the church throughout the world today. It started so small and insignificant. That's how God works. Jesus, the ordinary man that walked this earth, gave his life, died on a cross. Something that to the world on the surface seems so insignificant would amount to nothing. But through his death, he won our forgiveness and brought to us life. And by the message of that proclamation that Jesus died for your sins, that life is spread throughout the world. And the power of the gospel, the good news of Jesus who lives, will continue to spread his church. That you and I, we don't have to look at the person and blame, and we don't have to despair. We can rather say, we have something amazing and powerful. The same God who worked behind the message of Jonah continues to work behind the message of his word today, continues to build his church. And it's sometimes that very simple, hey, my church is about Jesus. You should hear what he's about. Or it's taking that conversation about sickness and death and turning it around and pointing to Jesus. The seed is planted. And when that seed is planted, you can expect it. You can be confident. It will produce amazing results. Amen.